Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our showrooms are open for business with your health and safety our priority. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I'm thinking that Ivor Callaly yesterday mentioned about him breaking his neck when in that accident when he was hit by a falling tree in West Cork while he was cycling. By the way, he was wearing a helmet. That shows you how catastrophic the impact was. A broken neck. He was told he would to get used to being in a wheelchair. He was called the medical label was an incomplete quadriplegic. And he mentioned being in the NRH. Carol Conroy. Carol, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. I know your son ended up in the NRH, but how did that journey begin? Luke,
my son, was 14 at the time. It was December 2018. And Christmas week, he had flu-like symptoms, which we kind of traced with hot drinks for the first couple of days. And then we took him to the doctor. The doctor said it was a viral infection and the same, do exactly what we're doing, hot drinks and paracetamol, and if it got any worse, go to the hospital. So he was okay for a couple of days. That was Thursday. We'd been to the doctor. Friday and Saturday, he was okay. He was, he was eating, he was drinking, he was, sleeping a lot, but we put that down to the flu or the virus we thought he had. The Saturday night, he was up during the night, dry reaching and breaking out in a cold sweat, but he had a low temperature. The temperature was about 35, 36, which we didn't really realise was a problem either. On the Sunday morning, he called me and he said he couldn't walk down the stairs. So he came down on his bum and he managed to get himself into the couch. And at that stage, I knew we were in trouble.
Yeah.
My mum and dad came around and we decided we'd call the DDoc and see what the story was there. Mm-hmm. We ended up in the Cottage Hospital in Drogheda, and we were in the waiting room, and Luke, he was in and out of kind of sleeps, and he passed out beside me sitting on the chair. At that stage, they rushed him into the DDoc, into the doctor, and she said she thought it was sepsis. It was suspected sepsis.
Wow.
She then, she called the ambulance and we got to Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital in Drogheda, and luckily they treated him for sepsis at that point. They ran various different tests. They did a chest X-ray and they told us he had a chest infection and cellulitis and ear infection and a couple of different, there was infections going on in his body, and they were going to keep him in overnight because his blood pressure was low. So we weren't particularly panicked. It was the day before Christmas Eve. My husband stayed with him overnight. We had a new baby at home and two other children. The next day, he had a peaceful enough night. He was in the high dependency in Our Lady of Lourdes. He had a peaceful enough night. And the next morning, a consultant came around, Dr. Maeve McCormick. She was fantastic. And she took a look into Luke's two eyes and she said that he needed to have a CT scan. So she organized that fairly quickly. We had the CT scan, and within a couple of minutes, the consultant came up and asked, could she speak to me in the room next door?
Okay.
At that point, she said that Luke had a massive amount of pus on the front of his brain, and it was a blue light job to Beaumont Hospital. So things moved fairly quickly. From then, we got down to Beaumont, and we were a little while waiting for him to be assessed. When we got there, they decided they would do an MRI scan. Now, in the meantime, Luke is speaking to us, and he had a horrible taste in his mouth, which we now know was the sepsis coming up his throat. Yeah. He sat up and he brushed his teeth and he rinsed out the mouth with mouthwash. And, we were talking and then things started kind of changing a little bit. The right side of his body started going limp. His right leg fell out of the bed and he couldn't move it back into the bed. And at that stage, we were panicking a little bit and we're calling people to come, calling the nurse to come. So they decided to take him down for the MRI scan at that stage, and he went into septic shock. His body started convulsing and breaking out in sweats, and he was delirious, in and out of consciousness. So they did try and get the scan done, but it wasn't possible. They had to bring him up to ICU to try and stabilise him, to bring him to theatre. So that was 11 o'clock on Christmas Eve night. They told us that he was a very, very sick boy and he was going to theatre with Dr. Sitar. He would be about 2 hours, 1 to 2 hours. and, you know, try not to panic, you know, try and stay calm and whatever. Yeah. So he went down and, you know, we said goodbye to him, and we were a little bit of flagging going on. We were saying, give us the code of your phone, you know, teenage boys with their phone. Yeah, and he'd say, no, not giving it to you. You know, we were laughing and joking.
Yeah,
trying to keep the spirits up.
Keep the spirits, yeah.
So he went to theatre, and they phoned us about 2 o'clock in the morning to say that he had made it through the surgery, that he was in recovery, and they'd be bringing him back up to us fairly shortly. So the hours went past. We got 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, about 5 o'clock, we start panicking, and I went down and asked the nurse, could she call the theatre and see where he was. And the nurse, at the time, I didn't think anything of it, but she closed the door and she was talking for a little while, and then she came out to us and said, there's an emergency in theatre. Luke will be a little while before they're able to bring him back up to you. So we assumed the emergency was somebody else's emergency.
Yeah, it wasn't ours. Yeah.
And they gave us a room. We went and we lay down. And they called us about 7 o'clock in the morning to see if they could speak to us up in the family room in ICU. So we went up and the surgeon came in and he sat us down and he said that when Luke was in recovery, that his brain had swelled and they had to take him back into theatre again and open him up again and remove his skull cap to allow the brain to swell.
Yeah.
And he was in an induced coma on a ventilator, and he was a very sick boy. They said to us, we can't even give you hope. That's how sick he is. It's hour by hour. And, you know, I suppose they can't prompt. They don't know. They don't know. He'd been in theatre for 7 hours. Mm-hmm. He was a very, very sick lad. And they let us come in to see him. And then he was in the induced coma. So they said, he can't see you. He can't hear you. He can't feel you're here. So go home to your other children. It was Christmas Day. And come back in later on. So that's what we did. We phoned the hospital every hour or every half an hour to see how he was doing, and he was stable but critical. He was in a coma until the 29th of December. They start weaning sedation, and at that point he was completely paralyzed. He wasn't moving. He wasn't really conscious. If we called his name, he'd squeeze our hand, but that, you know, it was very, very slow. Very slow for him to come around. The lung collapsed. They had to put him back in under sedation again. It went, went on up and down and up and down. Every day, every hour, the story changed in ICU. As I'm sure many people have been there, that's how things rock in there. The story does change. If he did eventually wake up on New Year's Eve, he had come around to a way of, they kept describing him as flat. You know, he'd no emotion. No, he was completely flat. That was the only word for him. He could wiggle his big toe, but the rest of the body wasn't moving at all. Now, luckily, he was there until he was in ICU until the 5th of January, and then they brought him back down to the high dependency ward in Beaumont. And over the next few weeks, they slowly, slowly got him back moving again. Which was a very slow process. You know, it was heartbreaking to watch. His right arm was paralysed, for about 3 weeks after.
Yeah.
He was...
And did he have to go to the NRH? Did he...
He had to go to the
NRH. How long was he there for, Carol?
He was there for 10 weeks.
Oh, wow.
But I suppose, we left Beaumont on the 15th of February, and we assumed you'd go straight from Beaumont to the NRH, but that wasn't the case. You go home for a few weeks first. There's only 7 beds in the NRH for the entire country for children who've been through chemo. Yeah. You know, it's very hard to get
in. So you have to wait for a place. Yeah.
You have to wait for a place.
And how is he now? How's Luke
now? He's brilliant.
Brilliant,
now.
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. He's back playing rugby and cycling every day, and he's running.
Any idea how the sepsis emerged?
It was a sinus infection that went back onto his brain and turned sepsis meningitis.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Dr. Sitar. Is that the same doctor who lost his wife and three children?
Yes.
Oh my God!
An amazing man.
An amazing man.
He's a god in himself. He's
an
amazing man. He really is.
His wife and 3 children.
Oh, he's incredible.
Were born to death in an attack in their family home in Leicester. In 2003. What a man!
Yeah, what a man. He's incredible. Along with his team. His team were absolutely amazing.
Great team up there.
But I'm so glad
you mentioned him, Carol. I really am. That was lovely.
We'll
that
be
you
eternally
remembered.
Grateful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair play to Luke.
Listen, he went into the NRH on the 13th of May last year and he spent 10 weeks in there. And I suppose the reason for getting in touch with the show was when Ivor was speaking yesterday, it just brings back all the memories and the emotion the raw emotion that people go through when you're in there. I suppose we'd never had any dealings with the NRH before. I never knew anything about it, really. And you go in there with a sense of, I mean, we went in, at that stage, by the time we were called to the NRH, Luke was back walking and he was back, you know, nearly back to himself. And the day we went in to see it, we kind of thought, he's too good to be here. They're not going to take him in. And then you start off on a journey of being told you're going to be, they do a 2-week assessment on you. And then they give you the news that you're going to be there for a further 8 weeks. And you're, you know, it is a complete and utter shock. But the emotion, I suppose, what Ivor was saying yesterday, you meet so many gorgeous people along the way, from the hospital staff to the other parents in the ward. Oh, we kept each other.
On that journey, as Ivor described it as.
Absolutely.
And what age is Luke now?
Luke was 16.
Oh, you've no hope of getting his telephone code now. You haven't a chance.
No.
Ever. Whatever about 14. You have no chance now. Oh, that's a good news story. I'm so glad to hear that, Carol.
Yeah,
seriously, I'm so glad.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mind yourself. Kind regards to you and your family, Carol. Look
after
yourself.
Thank you very much. Take care.
You too. 51551. Leagued and Lava.